Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Brenna. We are just three gals who like to sit around. We like to drink coffee, and we like to talk about true crime.
I mean, that's only three things about us, though. We contain
multitudes. That should be one of our shirts.
We contain
multitudes.
We contain attitudes.
And coffee.
We contain caffeine.
Coffee toots? Do you say coffee toots?
I do. Also, we contain coffee toots.
I was like, well, and that.
Coffee toots.
It happens.
Coffee toots happen.
Amen. Toots happen in general, guys.
Toots happen.
Toots happen.
Listen, lawyer up.
Toots happen.
Toots happen.
Okay.
Never go to a second location. Unless it sounds really fun.
I'm kidding. No.
Don't get somebody else's car.
I know, but what if I'm like, hey, guys, we were just at this bar. What if we go to eat a pizza?
But we know you. A murder scary stranger.
I guess.
You're only the Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
You got nothing.
Yeah. I love you getting nothing.
Oh, no. Well, ladies and beans, we are back in the breakfast nook. Here we are with the Zodiac Killer Brenna Folger.
We're back in the nook again.
We're surrounded by fairy lights. Soundproof foam.
Yeah, so no one can hear us back in the saddle again. We love you guys so much. Thank you for continuing to like send us fun recommendations, for supporting us by buying us merch.
Yeah.
Buying our merch.
You
can buy us merch. Yeah, you want to buy me a t-shirt? I really want another Morning Murders t-shirt.
Yeah. I would like another mug.
I would like a crop hoodie, please.
Oh, yeah, the crop hoodie is the best.
I wear mine all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it very much. Thank you.
And you could also look real cute in it, Beans. If we all get cropped hoodies together, then we're all twins.
Yay. So funny. Belly button.
Yes,
Bean twins.
Twins.
Twin beans.
Our tramp stamps. I got one of those.
Coffee bean tramp stamp.
That's a good band name.
Oh, we got it written down. Now you know it's good when it gets written down. Coffee bean tramp stamp.
We'll make tattoos. The temporary tattoo things, and it's just two little coffee beans.
Little coffee beans.
Coffee bean tramp stamps.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and next time we go to a scoop fest. We know you're a bean if you have coffee beans tattooed on your lower back.
Ooh.
Yeah. Even with temporary ones, we'll make little temporary coffee bean tattoos.
Oh, man.
Coffee bean tramp stamp.
Coffee bean tramp stamp.
I love it.
I have been thinking about getting the coffee plant as a tattoo.
Yeah, it's pretty.
We've talked about that before. Mm. Yeah.
That is a fun idea.
I do like greenery.
I like greenery, too. Mm-hmm. All my tattoos are greenery. Really? I think I have one. One's a mermaid, but the others are flowers. Or the moon.
She smokes seaweed.
Yeah.
She do.
Mm-hmm. She do.
Greenery. What are we doing here today?
Well, we're here to talk about terrible things.
Oh, great. So we're just avoiding talking about terrible things.
Yes.
You're on to me.
I wanted to revisit a name that came up in the Claremont Killer episode.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So aside from that moment, have you ever heard of Anthony Robert Harvey?
Other than that moment, no.
He has three first names, so I can only assume I'm about to learn about him.
You're gonna learn about him. So we've talked about family annihilators before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in season
this is
one.
The other guy that got no parole, right?
Or was
that? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So he got no parole.
Is it like, spoiler. Okay, sorry, real quick. Is it like Canada where, because I know in Canada, basically it's like you're gonna, for the most part, you get paroled unless you are, I think they like consider you a dangerous criminal and then you get no parole. Like it's very few people don't get parole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or don't get life. Or no. I'm fucking
no,
this
I think, no, I think that's I know what you're saying is, like, not a lot of other countries do life. Like, we do life, and that's just, like, you're gone forever. I think they do life, but they call it something else. Like, no parole
well, we
would
do that,
well,
too.
Life is 25 years.
Oh, right, that's right. It's only
life is not life.
Yeah. But it's, like, life depending on how many people you've killed, right?
Correct.
Like, you can get, like,
yeah.
everyone's life.
Yes,
or
you
whatever.
Can get, like, a life sentence for each victim mm-hmm. that you have affected.
Right.
Which is multiple life sentences.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's, like... No parole is like you're
in jail
there.
Forever.
Yeah. I didn't know they have like a danger. You have to be a dangerous offender or something mm-hmm. like that. But.
So I will talk a little bit about that in the
episode.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just a little bit about some of the stuff I learned about Australia. Not a whole lot, but there's a little bit in here.
Yeah. I know we have Australian beans, so
we do.
You know,
help us out with your legal system.
Educate us.
I mean, we'll look stuff up. Obviously, we do at some point. But then, like, tell us what you know.
Yeah.
Tell us how
yeah.
you have to deal with that shit. Because I know we have our own version of stuff that we're like, what?
Each state.
They got,
each
yeah.
state
they
has
got,
their own thing.
She got off? What? Like,
wait,
why?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. But back in season one, we talked about John List, mm-hmm. the family annihilator. We haven't covered Chris Watts yet, but we have talked about him before.
I think he got, like, he's a little oversaturated at the...
Agreed.
Like,
yeah.
Agreed. We all agree.
And something just recently came out. I don't know. There's
Whatever.
A lot. He's a terrible person. We all agree.
He did a terrible end of story.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to the Claremont Killer episode, Anthony Robert Harvey gets brought up because the Claremont Killer, whose name I'm not going to reveal in case you haven't listened to the episode yet. The Claremont Killer almost is sentenced with no option for parole. And if he had been, then he would have been the second person to be given that sentence in the WA, which is Western Australian Supreme Court, because Anthony Robert Harvey was the first.
Excellent.
So Justice Stephen Hall, Supreme Court judge, was the judge on both cases. I quoted him in the Claremont Killer case episode. In the case of Anthony Robert Harvey, he said this: "Your actions are so far beyond the bounds of acceptable human conduct that they instill horror and revulsion into even the most hardened of people."
Whoa.
Damn, girl.
You suck.
And with that, let's grab our mugs and talk about some true crime.
True crime.
Have you ever heard of the term familicide?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think you can gather what that means if you haven't. It is the mass murder of one's own family members. And we've talked about things like why not get a divorce, right? We bring that up a lot. When a person commits this type of crime, research has shown that sometimes they don't even understand why they did it, which is such a wild concept for those of us whose brain just doesn't function that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we can sit here and, like, totally understand how logically and, frankly, easier it would be to, like, just get a divorce or leave or and all that stuff. Like, that comes with its own set of consequences, obviously, mm-hmm. but not murder. They just literally don't see that concept, and I find it really hard to wrap my head around it. I'm also not in that field, like, of that, like, psychiatry and stuff to, like, fully understand what that is like for a person.
Also, you, I don't know, I feel like you make the dumbest decisions when you are, like, that caged animal that, like, mm-hmm. is backed into a corner type thing, mm-hmm. where you'll bite at any hand that comes at you, or, like, you know, like, you're not in a... logic state of mind
True.
When these decisions are made,
Absolutely.
Right? So we can talk about how logically something doesn't make sense, but if your brain is in fight or flight and you're making choices in those moments, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, forget about it. Like, you're mm-hmm. if all these other things are, you know, genetics and conditioning and everything else, you've made bet, you are, you know, impulse control and all that stuff is, like, in there anyways. Like,
yeah.
you're gonna do something's gonna be fucked up when your back is against a wall, you think, right?
Yeah.
Like your marriage ending. You start mm-hmm. thinking, like, oh, like, if we're in, like, a Chris Watts state of mind, or even John List or anything like that, or some of these other guys that do it for all those like, five reasons mm-hmm. or whatever mm-hmm. it is, where it's, like, oh, if I get a divorce, then we're going to have to schedule the kids. Then we're going to do this. And then she's going to talk bad about me and all of her friends. Are like, they, like, it's like a spiral. Mm-hmm. And then they think the only way out is to kill her instead of seeing that the divorce thing is really not that bad. Mm-hmm. They don't see the other side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The brain is such a complex, crazy thing. Like, it's so beautiful, the things that our brain is capable of, and also so horrifying.
Anxiety can really fuck you, it lies to you so much. You mm-hmm. can kill people based off of it, yeah.
Yeah. So with all that in mind, let's venture back to Western Australia and talk about a case that was so brutal and upsetting, it made history in the way Australia sentences offenders and was only just a few years ago.
Mm.
So Anthony Harvey and Mara Quinn met in 2013. She was 38 and he was 22, a 16-year difference. They were both working at the Sino Still Mine in Cape Preston in the northwest of Western Australia. Even though there was a large age gap, they got along really well and they started dating. Mara became pregnant in 2014 after their first year of dating, and then Anthony proposed. The couple moved to Perth suburb Bedford and settled down in a new home just in time for little Charlotte to be born in 2015. Now, Mara had a good amount of money and investments when they got together, and she ended up selling her properties to help fund Anthony in a Jim's Mulling franchise, which is a landscaping business.
Okay.
And she became a stay-at-home mom. Then, 18 months after Charlotte was born, the twins were born, Alice and Beatrix. Taryn Topman, Mara's sister, said that Mara was happy to be a mom and she struggled to keep up with the kids sometimes, so their mom, Beverly, started to come by every day to help with the girls. The family, to any outsider, seemed to be really happy, but Anthony's landscaping business was actually failing. And Anthony was more on the lazy side than, like, the productive, get-stuff-done kind of side, which only hurt the business. He straight up wouldn't show up to jobs sometimes. And because of that, Mara started working nights at Kohl's to help the family survive.
Mm-hmm.
On September 8th, 2018, Anthony called his dad and told him he wanted to come and see him. His parents lived about 18 hours away in Pamino Nico. Anthony started to drive there, but by 10 a.m. the next day, Anthony pulled into a rest stop. It was about an hour outside of where his parents' house was. And he calls his dad again. He told his dad over the phone that he had done something really wrong. His dad drove and met him there at the rest stop. And Anthony said, "I hurt them. I hurt all of them." He went on to tell his father how he murdered his family. His dad was able to convince him to turn himself in. Then they called the police and told them the address of where the family was back in Bedford. So Anthony told the police his story and they searched his car. They found $40,000 in the pocket of a jacket in the car.
Whoa.
Turns out he had taken the jewelry and other items with him, and as he made his journey to his parents, he started selling the items. There was also a journal he kept that was put into evidence. In the journal, he had detailed plans on how he was going to murder his wife and children. He had it all planned out at least a month before.
Woof.
It wasn't just a sudden thing he did. He had literally mapped it out. And even worse, he had taken photos of their dead bodies and placed them into the journal with the plan. He had purchased knives twice over the course of a few weeks before he committed the murders. He had also written details of other options that did not include murdering everyone. One was his own suicide, and the other was just to leave without anyone knowing. He labeled those as no heat. With the plans to make the family disappear, he wrote no money. Then he wrote a to-do list, including plans to call Mara's work to tell them about a fake injury, which he did.
Oh,
he called them. And he said that she had misjudged kicking a soccer ball and needed to have surgery on both of her knees. He had also put on his to-do list to call the girls' schools and give away all jobs. He then wrote about how getting rid of the family and embezzling the money would require planning. All of this was on a list. So what was the actual list? This is what it said. Body in trailer? Veggie patch? Bed? Call Kohl's. Call school. Give away all jobs. Sell car. Hawk all valuables. Withdraw money. Buy incognito car. Buy dog. Leave. He wrote that he wasn't worried about getting things like traced to him. Like, he wasn't worried about getting, you know, evidence traced back to him. All he was worried about was getting the money. Mm-hmm. He literally wrote, not concerned about trace. Just need the coin. Anthony, yeah, I know. Another entry read, "I must disconnect myself from this anxious and depressed society, this boring, muted cycle of endless survival. I must embrace my darkness and animal instincts." The last entry, which was on September 3rd, 2018, he wrote, "Tonight I will kill my wife, bludgeon and smother her to death. Then the real hunting begins, but first my loved ones." So while he was confessing all this to the police over on the north side, police had arrived to the crime scene back in Bedford. When they went inside, the TV was still on, but the rest of the house was still quiet.
Mm.
In the bedroom, they found the 2-year-old twins, Alice and Beatrix, the 3-year-old Charlotte and their 41-year-old mother, Mara. They'd been placed there together and looked almost like they were all cuddling each other. They were wrapped in blankets and had flowers and toys around them. There was also a note on top of them. It said, "To my beautiful wife, I am so sorry. I would give anything to undo what I've done. I think I've lost my mind. Take care of those little girls like you always do. I love you so much." The bodies were brutally damaged.
I was just about to ask.
Mm-hmm. Which I will describe more during the trial. I will also give a warning trigger before I do that. The mother-in-law, Beverly Quinn, 73 years old, was found in the kitchen. She was also covered with a blanket and flowers. There was a note left on her body as well. It said, "Beverly, I'm so, so very sorry. You all deserved so much better. I truly hope you are somewhere better. I know I never said it, but I love you. I'm so sorry." She also had extremely brutal stab wounds. Seasoned officers even said that they were horrified by the intenseness of this vicious crime scene. Anthony Harvey was arrested and charged with the murder of 5 members of his family. When the news came out about the murders, friends came forward and talked about how Anthony didn't handle the responsibility of being the breadwinner well. He hated that Charlotte took up so much time. He didn't even want to really be a dad at all. Things got even worse when the twins were born. Mara saved and did what she could, but all the kids were expensive, and Anthony's business didn't do much to help because he didn't want to work. I guess his friend said he spent like $300 a week on marijuana and meth, and he was a heavy drinker. The police told the media that it was likely that the mother and children were murdered on September 3rd, and the mother-in-law was murdered when she came by, like usual, the following day. Taryn said that Mara loved being a mom and loved her girls. They were her world. Charlotte, Taryn described, was an energetic, bubbly, and confident little girl. She loved to socialize and be around people. The little twins had also just started to show their own personalities. They were 2. Alice was more outgoing and adventurous and cheeky, while Beatrix was more quiet but gave the biggest hugs. She also spoke about her mother, Beverly, and how kind-hearted she was. She loved her family, her daughters, and her grandchildren, and would do anything for them. She said that the world is a sadder place without these 5 beautiful people. The family members talk about how they never saw any signs of trouble that would have led to something of this horrific nature. They were all shocked and said that it was something that they will never fully recover from. Pieces will find a version of healing, but the deep pain will always remain. Anthony did plead guilty to all the charges. He sat in prison until his trial in July 2019. The prosecutor was Anna Forrester. She told the court that Anthony had gone to a Commonwealth Bank branch only hours before the deaths of the family and had gotten Mara to sign a third-party agreement that would allow him to use her account, all while knowing he was going to kill her that night. Anthony drank 1/2 a bottle of wine while he waited for Mara to come home from her night shift at Kohl's.
Go ahead. Why does he need all the money for?
He just wants money because he's going to run away and wants to have money.
I guess so. I just was like, what did he, I don't know.
Being on the lam.
Yeah.
I know, but like, it is so funny to be like, what are you going to do after this? Like, what are you going
to, all he knows is he don't want to work.
He doesn't want to work. Right? He just wants to live his own life.
But he's not. With spending $300 a week on meth, yeah, it's not gonna last you very long.
He didn't think far into the plan.
But I'm like, fuck. That's what's so crazy about some of these. You're like, you're taking somebody's whole entire life for this like temporary inconvenience.
And
well,
to
now
the
he
extent,
doesn't have to work because you can live in prison for the rest of his
right.
life.
To the extent of what he does to get this is awful.
What the fuck?
Ladies and beans, moving forward, I'm gonna go through the victims, and I will be describing the results of the autopsy reports to show the gravity of how monstrous these attacks were to warrant the severity of the sentencing. If you do not want to hear these details, please skip ahead a few minutes, and we'll meet you there. He had set up a pipe so that as soon as Mara came home, he would grab it and go behind her and whack her over the head with it. After he knocked her down, he got her inside the house. He took a hunting knife the size of a machete and stabbed her until she stopped moving. He told the court he tried to finish her as quickly as possible. She had severe head injuries in addition to 12 stab wounds. The stab wounds were revealed to be 5 to her chest and 7 to her back. After she was dead, he went to the children. He went into the twins' rooms first, and with a smaller knife, he stabbed Beatrix 9 times in her right eye, cheek, and chest, 3 of which went through vital organs, including her heart. There was also a wound that penetrated her skull and to the right carotid artery. With Alice, he stabbed her 13 times in her chest, left wrist, and the left eye. The 6 wounds to her chest all hit vital organs, including her heart. After the twins, he went to Charlotte's room, and he stabbed her 38 times. 22 were clustered on her chest. Others hit her in the neck and other areas of her chest, damaging vital organs, including her heart. After all of this was done, he gathered their bodies and put them in the main bedroom on the bed with it looking like the children were cuddling their mother, and he took a picture of them. The next day, when Beverly was attacked, he had cleaned the blood on the porch from where he had first hit Mara before she came into the house. Beverly came by just about every day from 7 to 7:30 a.m. to help around the house, and on this day, she was bringing back laundry. Anthony came out and helped her bring it inside. Then, once inside, he hit her with the same pipe he hit Mara with. He stabbed her repeatedly, mostly in the chest, at least 14 times, and then he took photographs. After he was done, he took a shower and fell asleep. The next day, he went and bought flowers. Then he came home, covered the bodies with blankets, placed flowers on top of the bodies along with the notes. He also put toys around Mara and the girls' bodies. He stayed in the house with the bodies until September 8th. When he called his father and drove to his parents' house. That's 5 days. He was in the house for 5 days.
So with the plan that he made and all the option of wanting to get money and all the stuff that he needed, he only was able to last 5 days with, like, all the choices that he had to make.
Yeah, he stayed 5 days in that house with the dead bodies, and then he left.
But on the way back, so it wasn't in the 5 days that he, like, went to the bank and did all that stuff.
No.
It was on the drive to his parents' house.
So he went to the bank before.
No, I mean, like, sorry. I mean,
oh, selling the items?
The pawn shop,
so
yeah.
He sold the items on his way to his parents' house. So the 18-hour drive, he stopped and sold things.
So do you think he was, like, thinking he was going to change his mind once he saw his dad? Like, because you're still getting money on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what are you spending your money on? Also, Australia is huge. It's
it
a
is.
Long drive.
18-hour drive.
Yeah. It's a long drive.
So during the trial, after all the evidence, witness, and testimonies were presented, Justice Hall said, "It is sufficient to say that they, the journal entries, refer to you wanting to disconnect yourself from a society that you viewed as being pointless and without meaning. You refer to embracing your darkness and your animal instincts and of doing the unthinkable to unshackle yourself. You make it clear that this means killing your wife, children, and mother-in-law and going on the run." A psychiatrist report concluded that Anthony Harvey did not have any mental illness or psychological conditions that predated the murders. But Anthony did talk about his own anxiety and depression previously. They did say it was difficult to determine if Anthony had autism or narcissistic personality disorder. They said both could be presented in a similar manner in criminal cases. I think they're referring to him as a person. I think they're referring to him as a person, not in relation to the crime he actually committed, like his actual demeanor, not related to the crime. Mm. In their report, they included that Anthony also often tried to escape into a fantasy world of serial killers. And he had become obsessed with the notion of becoming one. We've heard serial killers say shit like that before, saying that them and their victims have become one now. There's a case that I will cover about Sherry Smith's murder. I don't know if you know that murder at all. But her murderer, Larry Bell, literally on the phone call to Sherry's mother, told her that he and Sherry were one now after he killed her.
Oh, is that the guy that, like, he kept talking to the mom on the
yes.
phone for a long time? Okay, yeah,
yes.
I think I remember hearing about that one.
Forensic File episode on it. That's And John Douglas also helped on the case. Anyways, so because of that, the psychiatrist said she did not believe his depression was a cause of the murders, but rather his desire to replace reality with fantasy, to become one with his family. She also said that Anthony had an empathy defect, which made the remorse he showed more unsettling because it would mean that it was put on rather than genuine. Mm. Justice Hall went on to say, You used those weapons with great brutality, inflicting numerous and severe wounds to each victim. In each case, there were more wounds than would appear necessary if your objective was only to kill each victim. This was not a case where a single act caused multiple deaths. Each victim was the subject of a separate attack, and in each case, you intended to kill the victim. You set out to murder 5 people, and you achieved that objective.
Yeah, you even, like, wrote the other options out mm-hmm. and didn't do them. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally just went, no, I'll just do this instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Justice Hall went on to address the detail and planning that went into each victim's death. Mara was coming home from work late at night. She had no reason to suspect that she would be violently attacked by you. Beverly Quinn, who was age 73 at the time of her death, was also unsuspecting. You helped her bring things in from the car, all the time planning her death. The children were very young and asleep in their beds in their home. This was the place they should have been the safest. They should have been able to trust their father to protect them. That is the most fundamental duty any parent has. You breached that trust and failed in that duty in the most extreme way imaginable. You took photographs of the bodies. You posed the bodies of Mara and the children. You then continued to calmly carry out your plans to escape over several days. All this showed callous disregard for your victims and is inconsistent with your later claims of remorse.
Beans! I wanted to take a moment to talk about a company that I love very much. It's called Adventure Dog Coffee Company. Not only do they offer a specialty grade coffee that is roasted fresh to order, literally it is some of the best beans I've had the honor to brew for the Breakfast Nook, 20% of the proceeds from that coffee goes to train rescue dogs as specialty service dogs for veterans. To learn more about this incredible company and order your bag of coffee today, visit adventuredogcoffee.co. Use special promo code MURDER, that's M-U-R-D-E-R, at checkout to receive a 20% discount just for being a bean. You can also check out their link in our show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
When it came time for sentencing, Justice Hall said, "There is no case that is truly comparable. Frankly, I struggle to find words that are adequate to convey the magnitude of the offenses. This is a matter about which I have thought long and hard. An order that an offender should never be released is drastic and exceptional and should be reserved only for the very worst cases. Such an order has never before been made in this state. The profound consequence of imposing such an order on a young man is a fact that I acknowledge and have taken into account." He asked Anthony to stand. Anthony Robert Harvey, you are sentenced to imprisonment for life with an order that you should never be released. The family members in the courtroom hugged and cried as Anthony stood there quiet. This was the first time in Western Australian history that a sentence like that took place. I guess in August, shortly after the sentencing, he requested an appeal, but then he withdrew it, so the case was never reevaluated.
Mm.
Afterwards, outside of the courtroom, Taryn spoke and thanked everyone involved with the investigation, the countless number of hours and weeks that were dedicated to helping her family get justice. She spoke about how the sentence was suitable and how she wished that it could also bring them back, but knew that would never happen. She said that now it gave people the chance to move forward and heal. She said this about her family. "Don't remember them for how they died or by who, but for who they were as individuals. Please remember my mom, Beverly, as a generous, committed, loving mom and friend that she was. My sister, Mara, for her love, support, and determination. My niece, Charlotte, for her enthusiastic laugh. Alice, for her sense of adventure and cheekiness. And Beatrix, for her spirit and, of course, her hugs." And in honor of that request, that is the case of the heartbreaking case of Mara, Charlotte, Alice, Beatrix, and Beverly. Any final sips?
Okay, so a couple things. Mm-hmm. They were, this is sad because they were together for what, four years if Beatrix, or the oldest one was 3, mm-hmm. Charlotte.
So, yeah.
Because they were only together for a year.
Oh, hold on. I have it.
I just scroll back up here.
And it's just so sad for that family to, like, this guy, like, it all happened in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, so they met in 2013 and got married after she became pregnant in 2014. So Charlotte was born in 2015.
So it's, like, one of those things where...
Yeah, 3 years, 2018.
That's so awful. Okay. Hear me out. Just because, like, you don't have to live by a script that is, like, pushed upon us all over the place. You don't have to start the family, like, with people. They can, you can have kids and not get married. And, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can, because it feels like he didn't have any attachment to this whole family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to do what he did.
Well, and you can tell by how he stabbed Charlotte so many more times.
So
the rest
many.
Of the time. Like, he obviously had some type of resentment of, like, you changed my life.
Everything, yeah. Right? And then the way he talked about the family with people that knew him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, like, you don't have to do it the way you think people need you to do it. And, I like, maybe they wanted to do all this stuff because they were wrapped up in the moment or whatever it was. But, like, you don't have to marry him just because you're having a baby with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, if he hasn't been helpful this whole time, like... giving him more money didn't help, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to stay with him. Isn't I'm, and I'm not saying that she'd made any, no one made any bad choices here. I'm talking to you, the listener. Like, like, you don't have to stay with her. You don't have to stay with him. You don't need to push further into making bigger decisions that now you can't take back from. Like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to keep just because you've only known them for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's, it was mm-hmm. such a short-lived thing, and she gave him so much money for a business. Mm-hmm. Like, she really wanted it to work.
Yeah.
And you don't, it's okay if it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
The it's okay if it's like, ooh, we hooked up a bunch and it's like, oh, we have a kid. That doesn't mean you have to, like, push forward on everything because you need to make it work. If there's any red flags, you can still get out of there and not be a part of that. And it's okay to not.
You don't have to double down on that
yes,
relationship.
You don't have to do that. It's okay. Like, and I'm just saying this to you, the listener, Bean, if, like, you just don't have to do that. And I know, like, things fell through, things happened the way they happened in this story. And, like, it's so unfortunate and so sad. And I know she probably was just, like, really in love and wanted to make it happen and work. And, like,
she's such a good mom. Like,
yeah.
She just really loved her children and would do anything.
And maybe she had other things she loved, but we now only know of her
of
as
that.
A good mom.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
She's now whittled down to this thing. And it's not, I'm not saying motherhood is a small thing. I'm just saying, like, she had a whole life before this fucking piece of shit came along.
Yeah.
And now all we know about her is that she loved her children.
Yeah, she met him at 37.
Yeah. So,
so
she,
like,
had a,
she had a whole
yeah,
life right
she had, like,
she
investments,
him.
She had properties, like,
yeah.
She was a smart business lady.
Yeah.
It like.
So it's, like, it's just unfortunate that, like, I'm just saying, like, big decisions could be made in a short amount of times, and you don't have to live by a script or by, like, mm-hmm. anyone else's plan just because you feel like you need to make it work or, like, for this relationship to be successful, we have to now be married or, you know, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
like, because we have a kid together, like, it's so you do it in any order, you know, we need to do it in, and it's okay. So, I feel like the mounting pressure was of somebody who, like, already wouldn't make a connection with his own family
mm-hmm.
just probably didn't help.
Mm.
It's like, you don't have to. It's okay. Because, like, this is such a sad story. And clearly he didn't give a shit, so.
No. Clearly.
Yeah, it's, it was really difficult. So, like, there wasn't a whole, like, I linked all the resources and stuff that I found, but there wasn't, like, a whole lot of stuff that I was able to find. But the video I was able to find and listen to, it, like, had, you know, news clips and stuff in it, and they did a really good job. But when they got to how brutal,
crazy
the attacks were, I had to, like, stop. I mean, I'm still crying about it because it still just makes me cry every time. I had to stop the video, and which is also why I wanted to give, like, a fair, an advance trigger warning because I knew that I was going to cry even talking
so
about
brutal,
it.
It's so brutal, yeah.
It's just so brutal. And in Australia, you know, they always give people, like, parole is usually a thing that people are offered or they get that opportunity to be paroled. But in this case, that was the first time they ever were like, no. There's no case that we can even compare this to see how to judge, right? Because that's what you do. You know, you take similar cases and, like, how those things played out, and there's a whole thing that they go through. But in this, there was nothing he could even compare it to
because
it was the first thing that had been brought to his attention that was just so horrific and brutal. And I felt like Justice Hall did such a wonderful, the way he spoke about everything. That's why I wanted to quote him so much, because he just took so much care in how he said things. And the words he chose, I felt, really made heavy impacts.
Right. And I think, like, family annihilators exist everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was just really refreshing to see it taken care of by this judge. Yeah. And how he was just like, no.
Mm-mm.
No. Like, no. Like, there was nothing anybody did to you that, like, made this happen. There was no... And you were even... wrote out with your own hand, like, the other options that wouldn't have involved you having to, like, go through the efforts and planning of killing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, going to go get the flowers afterwards and all that stuff. I just wonder with like, the waves of emotion, if he, like, cried while he was buying the flower, if he cried while he was handing them, like, writing the letters. Like, when you get back into a corner thinking that you had to do this, that's so wild. There's, just came out, was it... I don't know if it was on Amazon or if it was on Netflix, but the one guy that, like, took the time to record, like, building his little fort in the forest.
Oh, I don't know this.
I'll have to send it to you guys. It's this guy who he took all this time to record his, like, talking about him building this fort in the forest where he was going to, like, stay after he killed his wife and daughter. And, like, the whole time he's just, like, he's, like, I have to do it. Like, he's just so, like, matter-of-fact about, like, how it must be done. And then if they do find him, he's thinking he could stay up there for a long time. And as soon as they find him, he'll just take his own life. And it's just, that's all what it is. But he just, like, has to do it. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, the wife got ill and, like, there needed to be money and, like, you know, doctor's visits and all these things. But she was still trying to have, like, a craft business or something.
Oh, okay.
And she was vlogging at the time as well.
Oh.
And so there was no anything. No, he never, like, got weird and never, like, nothing like that happened. He just kind of quietly planned this thing and then just was, like, his daughter was going to college. Like, he just could have chosen not to do it. He recorded every, like, him just being like, yeah, and I just... So hopefully I'll be able to be up here for a while. Like, he's just, like, a matter of fact, like,
that's terrifying.
Dad kind of dude. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, but a lot of it's like money and, like, sunken cost fallacy, like, bullshit, mm-hmm. where, like, you think you've, like, put in all this time and effort towards something and now you just gotta, like, that's, like, your version of, like, ziplining out of there. But it's like, he could have just left. That dude could have sold that same jewelry and left. Like,
yeah.
He could have been a real piece of shit and just been like, bye.
Yeah. It's like, these...
Didn't even do anything with the money. Like, that's what I was like, what was he going to do with the money?
We'll never know.
He called his dad. Yeah. Like, so it's like clear, after 5 days, I'm like, you did so much. And then you continued getting money on your way to your father where you're confessing this thing.
Like, would you think your dad was going to be like, okay, great, let's go this way? Like, what did you think your
dad
was going to do?
Fugitive real
Let
quick.
Me, no, good on his,
no,
his dad was like,
his, yeah,
we're going to go to the police.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy because it's like, these are human beings that have their own life, like, essence. It's not a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like a main character in a movie. Every person you meet is their own main character.
Mm-hmm.
Your family is full of their own main characters who have life and have other goals and dreams and can do other things. They pull, like, you affect a whole chain of reaction of events.
Do you think there's, like, some antiquated, like, I mean, I know there is. There is a very antiquated thing about people feeling like they own their children. Like, they don't consider their kids to be, like, people, like, full human people until, like, something happens, like, you know, like, they're an adult. And, like, that must be an interesting experience for a parent when there's, like, these antiquated values of that in you that you're, like, whoa, you have and it's not like you're a teenager, I'm mad at you. It's like me and my daughter, like, meet for lunch. Like, you're a person. Like,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
they're like, and they always have those, like, emotional, that the trope of that moment is college, right? Giving them a hug before they are off on their dorm, you know, like, whatever that is. Like,
yeah. I just recently saw The Iron Claw, that 1984 movie. So I'm sure you know a lot of, you are a wrestling person.
Oh my God, their whole family.
Their whole family. Well, it made me think of the dad, what you were just saying right now.
Sure,
so the
Rich.
Father really thinks about the kids as, like, oh, you're new wrestlers, you're gonna continue on this thing, and he, like, trains, like, he sees them as, like, you are not just my child, you're the new wrestler.
Yeah.
And now you are going to do the thing. Oh, you've made me mad. Now you're going to be the
family,
top one.
Like, family, like, you have to carry on the family tradition, like, to a T. Like, yeah. It's literally, like, every time we've seen that in any movie or television show or our friends who have, like, I need to carry on this family tradition by doing this restaurant, or, like, I gotta be a doctor also, I have to do... It's that, like, for wrestling, and yeah. It happened. Like, it's, like, it's, the movie telling of a true story.
It's this poor family. This poor family, because it's, like, these, what is it, four boys?
There's five.
Five boys. Oh, because one of them passed when he was really little.
Yeah.
And one of them...
It's tragic family.
But one of the kids...
You guys going to do these episodes, right? For me and for all the beans?
Okay. I mean, some of it isn't crime. It's just tragic.
It's just really sad. Yeah. And you just kind of watch this unfold, and you're like, oh, the choices that have been made.
I haven't even seen the movie yet. Oh. I just know
you
the story.
I knew you would know the story.
I know the story of the Von Erich family.
Yeah.
Or Eric, whatever, yeah.
I think Eric. Yeah,
the Von Erich family.
Which isn't like their real... It's like his...
The
wrestling mother's name.
It's like anytime you've heard of a circus family, you're part of the flying yeah. this. Well, this is what you do now. You're a trapeze artist. Like, it's
yes.
this story yeah. of like what we've heard of millions of times, but just it happens to be a wrestling family, and it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
You're gonna play football. Like, I played football, but it's just wrestling. It's
yeah,
so
and
up.
But like the dad did play football, but football didn't work out, so then he became a wrestler. And
really
so it's
good.
Like, yeah.
Really good, too. They were all really good.
All really, really good. But it's that same idea where, I mean, you didn't just see, these are my kids.
Yeah.
He saw, you're the future wrestler. So one of them, like, wants to be a wrestler, but then, like, something happens, and another one wants to be a wrestler, so then they're both going to be wrestlers, and then the one is going to be, like, the champion, because they're kind of grooming it that way, but then he, like, messes up in a ring fight, and his dad gets mad, so then the other one, now he's going to groom that one to be, like, the leader guy. And then one of them was going to be in the Olympics, but then the Olympics got shut down because of war. So he comes back, and then he becomes a wrestler now. And
this
then one of them
craziness.
Is a musician who doesn't want to be a wrestler at all. But then after all these tragic events happen, his dad basically forces him to become a wrestler. And then tragic things happen to him, too.
It's just a tragic story. It's
so tragic, and dad just saw a wrestler. He didn't get to be the, like, champion, so he wanted someone of the bloodline to become the champion. And it's just that idea that you were just saying about, like, not – really seeing your child as your child, it's something else.
Yeah, it's like, and there's in your, for years and centuries, conditioned to think that way of your
yeah.
children. Like, you have to. Like I think about, we talk about, like, our parents and, like, how, you know, we're our parents' generation. Like, so our, like, all of our friends have stories about parents that are, like, rough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, look who raised them. Like, it was mm-hmm. literally, like, you were alive, that's enough. And,
mm-hmm.
like, I keep a roof over your head, like, that's enough. So
mm-hmm.
we think about how damaged, like, we are as a generation of stuff. But, like, dude, look at – and
mm-hmm.
I'm not negating any of that. That's true. Because look at who raised the people
yeah.
who raised us. Ah! Like, mm-hmm. that whole generation of people is wild. Like, it's only been recent that we've been like, oh – you're people. You're not just helping me with my business because it's the Depression and we have to do that, like,
mm-hmm.
by necessity. Like, you are, like, a person that I have to, that is an adult at some point.
Yeah.
Like, and even, like, a child who is equally as important because you're right here.
Yeah.
You're right
and
here in front of me.
You have value, and you are not, like, why, it's not your fault that something is happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, in this case, you know, Anthony, he blamed Charlotte.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, with the amount of violence that he did to her, he blamed her for his own shit.
Yeah.
It's your own fault that you're lazy. It is your own fault your
that
business
you're there.
Isn't working.
It's
it is
your
own
fault,
fault
that
you're
being
there.
A father.
It's,
you could have left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have left and been a piece of shit that way. Like, at least she would have been alive.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you know, your wife was happy to be a mom, so
let her be a mom. Or even if she wasn't.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Regardless,
she wouldn't have had,
no one needs to kill
there wouldn't
anybody.
Have been, she didn't need to die. Like,
no.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like,
no.
or have, like, they, there wouldn't have been two more kids immediately. Like,
mm-hmm.
so who knows if there was even, like, sexual coercion for the second round of kids so quickly after,
mm-hmm.
like, sex, if he only saw her as, like, a sexual thing and went for it, and then they just, well, okay.
Yeah, because it's so fast after.
Mm-hmm.
Just, But I don't know.
Who knows? You know, like whatever. But it's just one of those things. You can leave. You can leave. You think you can't, but you can. Guess what? Yeah. You can.
Yeah, anything's it's like possible. That thing we were talking about right before that logic is out the window.
Yeah. Because you're like just backed against a corner and like someone's that, reaching for you and
like
you bite
you
it.
You created
and
you, yeah. that corner. Mm-hmm. It's just so awful and so sad.
Hop the wall. Just hop get out of the wall. Like you're in the, just hop the wall. Get out of there. Yeah. Before you do something, you're going to fucking regret. Like, Sorry for my swearing.
We swear on this all the time. It's an explicit podcast. <Yeah. laughs> I give a warning at the beginning and everything.
Yeah, and it's marked explicit. That's that moment where we did it.
Yes.
Because of that one.
Because of that one right
nothing
there.
Nothing to do with how this man brutalized his whole family.
No, like a piece of shit. Like fucking
what
piece
were you
of
gonna
shit.
Do with all that money? Like, how long do you
doesn't
really
make any
think
none of
gonna...
it makes any sense. None of it makes any sense. But he is running away.
And then
away.
To, for all yep. of that planning, like he had journals and everything, to then get thrown out of a window because he, 5 days you lasted. Good. I'm glad he called. I'm glad he had it. I'm glad something happened in him that made him even call his dad and tell someone else. He just didn't have any friends that he could tell. I'm sure.
Yeah, cause like. Like, when you think back on, like, the John List case, and he just left all the bodies there with air conditioning on and just fucking booked it, and they weren't discovered for so long. It wasn't until the lights started going out because of the electricity burning out that the families, or the neighboring families, even called a wellness check.
They still haven't found that Xavier Legionnaire Dupree.
whatever that guy's name.
Who they did that Unsolved Mysteries episode on too, and like all that other stuff. Yeah, like it's like a French dude that did the same thing as John List and has still yet to have been found.
Oh,
like
shit.
Yeah, left the family and the house and like same kind of thing. But I think he like left the family, and I don't think he left the lights on. I think it was just like everything was closed and everyone was put into like a ballroom somewhere.
Yeah, there was another case that I can't remember his name now, that I covered. He's still technically on the FBI Most Wanted list because he also killed his family and then dipped.
Why couldn't you just dip? Why did they have to die?
No one has the right to say
why did they
who
have
can
to
live
die
and die. You didn't have the right to make that decision.
Plan better. Plan better if you really want to be a missing forever and never talk to that family again. Plan better. If you're like, they had to die because what if they knew? Or like, what? Like, let go of that. They'll move on at some point. Like, so can you.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Just leave.
If this can save anyone's life, like, I don't, you know, like, who knows where this, whose ears hear anything.
Don't murder.
Just leave.
Just leave.
And if you're like, I'm planning the murder, so, no.
Just
plan the
getaway.
Plan the getaway. Just plan the get. Like, I think I heard somebody say at one point, like, with, like, the school, like, the people, not even the school shooters, but shooters that come in and, like, shoot a bunch of people and then shoot themselves. You're like, do it in the other order. Reverse the order and, like, don't take other people's lives in the process. Like, if the end was just you leaving, skip the thing where you take other people, you're not gonna, there's no story. We don't cover it the way you think that we cover it. Like, and it's not remembered the way that you think it's gonna be remembered. Look how many true crime cases there are. Like, you're a drop in the bucket, baby. Just leave. Like, at this point, like, don't, there's no relishing, like, thing now. Like, you're just, there's too many now. So just leave.
There's so much violence and senseless violence and horrible things that some people will do to other people. And I find that it's part of our job to continue to try to be kind to each other and take these stories and share the stories of the victims and keep their memories alive and honored the way that their families want them to be honored. And just continue to do better. These cases won't stop. Like, unfortunately, this is something that we will have lists forever for. And it will be impossible for any podcast to cover every single thing because the number is so incredibly large. And that's awful and shocking and so sad. And if we can do any small part to, like, help, I think that's sharing our thoughts about just life and kindness and things that we can do to help each other. And maybe some more wonderful things will happen and we can keep making things better in this crazy, sad world and finding better ways that than the way the justice system currently works. And I know that there are people out there that are doing that work and it's incredible work. And please keep pushing and please keep fighting. because I know that it can be better.
And remember, statistically, it's like Schrodinger's cat. Like, just because we are like, we can't see what's going on in the world, it means that there is both good things and both, like, and bad things, right? Like, so it's just the bad things that get you tingling and you're jingling. So that's, like, why they do, it's on purpose. It's why we, why the news is so, like, always, and it's not even, the news is sometimes not even talking about anything that's happening. They're, like, just recycling the same shit that's happening over and over again and just talking about it like it just was breaking news. So, like, remember that it's built to get a reaction out of you and that, like, realistically and statistically, there is equally... as there's terrible murders happening, there are people making good choices. The murder gets your clicks. So, like, the good choices are things that you are going to see in your everyday life, not necessarily things that are going to pop up on your phone screen.
Yeah.
It's, you know, helping out a person that you see needing help or holding a door. It's all those little things that give you that little boost of the good juices in your brain. Those exist. And just don't forget that when you're hearing, even when we're even talking about it.
Yeah, and, like, you know, if you see, like, this saying, if you see something, say something. And that can go for all kinds of things. It doesn't have to be crazy, terrible things. It can be also little things and also good things. You can point out good things. But don't let the bystander effect affect you. Encourage you to help whenever you can in a safe, safe way. Keep yourself safe and those around you.
A safe way, a safe Ralph's, way. An Albertsons. A Big Lots.
All of the above.
Big Lots.
I saw a picture, I guess, a meme, I guess, and it's this cat in a box busting out, and it says, tell, what is the name?
Schrodinger?
Schrodinger, I lived.
I'm back.
My parents have the two mugs, and it's like, you know, those mugs that are when you pour the coffee and you see the thing up here. One of them has the Schrodinger, one of them has the cat, and one of them doesn't. You don't know until you pour the coffee, that's like, cute. Who's got the cat in the box.
It's, oh, my God. Speaking of coffee, let's pour ourselves some more coffee.
Yes, thank you
so much for joining us around the breakfast nook and sharing your coffee with us. Please join us again here on this lovely podcast that we like to call Morning Mode.
For listening to Morning Murders.
Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes. At Morning Murders. That's MORNINGMURDERS.
Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends.
If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the breakfast nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening.
What are they? I am not
there. There we go. I was like, no input. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? There is an input here. You fools.
You fools.
You fools.
You fools.
I can see it with my eyeballs.
Okay, Ben, we're going to go in here now. Bye.
Bye, love you, bye. He, like, rolled over to look at me.
He was like, huh?
Where are you going, Mom? Where are you going? Okay, I sit like this today. Is he like this now?
That's nice.
This nice. On top of my cappy.
Oh.
I'll go right in, Jesus. What's cappy being said in Yiddish? Anyway, okay.
Taken?
I don't know. Who knows anymore? There's a lot of bands out there.
I'm a band.
Of
brothers.
I'm a bandit.
Band of brothers.
I'm a band of brothers.
Band of brothers.
Oh, that's a solid series. You guys should watch that.
Band of Brothers.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I also started watching The Sopranos, and guys, it's good eats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You keep recommending it.
Yeah, I really
highly
recommend.
I recommend The Sopranos.
I'm like, in like 10 years, wait till you see me watch The Wire, and I'm telling all you guys that you watch The Wire.
Also heard that's a good one.
Dude, that's one of those ones, too, that everyone's like, watch it, and I'm like, I think I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah,
cool.
I know. But I know I'll come back to it and be like, you guys, The Sopranos? The
Wire. That's going to be our next podcast.
The Sopranos and The Wire.
It's going to be, guys, we watched The Wire.
Yeah.
And then here's finally, The Wire. Yeah.
We finally watched The Wire. It's like every series. Like, it's in like 20 years, I'm going to be like, Stranger Things was great. Like, that's like how I get around to stuff. I was like, Cheers, you guys? Cheers, though? And Seinfeld?
Oh, no, Cheers.
Cheers is great. Cheers is a good all the way watch. You get to literally watch, like, the history of, like, you watch in certain shows that have been on for that long. Mm-hmm. You get to watch the, like, when we started allowing, you know, other than white people on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
When women started having more lines and stuff like that. Like, when you could just get to watch it, like, everything shifts and changes.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah, interesting. It is interesting. Yeah. Shows especially
Cheers.
Slice of life right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And... Dude, they hit each other in the face. I was like reading about they totally didn't like each other. They were dating. It was like they fucking, she hit him and then he hits her straight in the face on television.
Wait, which one is this?
Cheers.
Cheers. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
Seinfeld. No, it was Cheers.
Like, Seinfeld?
Yeah. No, in Cheers, they fucking really do hit each other.
Damn.
It's one of those moments you're like, whoa, and it wasn't those like share, like snap out of it. You just tell when you're watching it, you're like, oh, they fucking, this was like,
bet.
This was, yeah.
Oh, dear.
You have to hit each other. Yeesh. It's like, can we just hit each other here? Yeah. Sure.
No, why not? This is a love scene, but okay.
And it all was very different. Like when, and then Christy Alley came in and you're like, oh, there was a whole other show that happened. Like, it's like, it is really, it's an interesting show.
I've only seen episodes. I haven't actually like seen that whole thing.
It's a pretty good all the way watch through. That and Golden Girls, guys.
Oh, Golden Girls.
Frasier is also a really good watch through.
Frasier. I've seen some of Frasier. I haven't finished Frasier.
It's so fun. Frasier's one of those that I would love to do like live readings of because it's so fucking ridiculous. And they're written like really good plays because it's all theater kids in that show.
Yeah.
So, David Hyde Pierce is the best in the whole. He's so good. He does like a full, because he's like fully trained in anything. So they just have him do everything he knows how to do in the whole show. So he's like playing this like fun, silly caricature like type person. And then he just like, he can sword fight legit. He can do all these like amazing things. These things. He plays piano. He does all this crazy shit. And they're just like, but then he hides behind this like meek character, but he does all these really great things. So I highly recommend. I recommend Frasier.
Great.
Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Okay, go ahead. Feels good to do.
That this is the case of, that this, God damn it. How did I want to say this?
Beep, beep.
Beep, 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 beep.
Meow, meow. Is Ben still in here?
Yes.
Oh, my legs.
It's a Ben in a box.
My back is like,
we love